I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. These verses which were read to us from the psalm, they're what's set by the lectionary plus a few extras. And all of that gives a very positive picture. They sing of God's faithfulness to his people, of his covenant with David, his chosen king, and with his descendants. They praise God as the mighty creator, the ruler of all things. And later verses in the psalm continue in this vein, emphasizing the relationship with David. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. My hand shall always remain with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. I will crush his foes before him. Forever I will keep my steadfast love for him, and my covenant with him will stand firm. So far, so good. Happy are the people who walk in the light of God, says the psalmist. But then the voice changes. All of this has been leading up to a great cry of pain. At the time when the psalmist writes, the nation is defeated and in turmoil. And later verses say, you have laid his strongholds in ruins. You have made his enemies rejoice. You have not supported him in battle. God seems to have abandoned his chosen ruler. You have spurned and rejected him, says the psalmist. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. And there's a cry of anguish. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? The prayer, the psalm, comes to an end by challenging God to remember, to take heart the frailty of his chosen servant and of his people, who are laid low in the power of their enemies. Surely then, God will intervene, is the unspoken line, though there's actually no response from God. And then right at the end, the affirmation of faith. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Those words are not actually part of the psalm, but they mark the end of the third of the five sections or books into which the Hebrew Bible divides the book of Psalms. The commentator John Goldingay, whose commentaries on the Old Testament I like, because he's kind of down to earth, he cites a play by Eli Wiesel, called The Trial of God. And this play is set in a concentration camp and is, I think, comes out of Wiesel's experience. And at the end of the play, the trial in the play, God is found guilty of crimes against creation and humankind. And after a period of silence, a Talmudic scholar who has taken part in the tribunal looks up to the sky and says, it's time for evening prayers. And the members of the tribunal recite the synagogue evening service. Goldingay says, this line in Psalm 89, this affirmation of praise, has something in common with that dynamic. The psalm ended with protests which receive no response from God. But the people worship God nevertheless and say amen to all which has been said, praise and lament and questioning. The psalms written thousands of years ago resonate with us, I think, because they speak honestly from human experience. We too praise God for his love and faithfulness. We experience it in our lives. We look around at the beauty of creation and we give thanks to God. But like the psalmist, we also experience times of catastrophe, sometimes in our own lives. But for all of us, as we look around at our world, and we may echo with the psalmist, how long, O Lord, before you will do something about this. But we are further along in human history than the psalmist is, further along in God's dealings with his people. And we can look again at the portrayal in the psalm of God's anointed one, who is in the power of his enemies, who is rejected and scorned, whose life is cut short. And in all of that, we can see the parallel with the passion and the death of Jesus Christ. The New Testament tells us that God's remembering and answering the plight of his people is somehow demonstrated in those events, in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. God not distant and looking on dispassionately, but bound up in all of it, sharing and overcoming our pain through Christ. All is still not sweetness and light. Resurrection and new life come only after suffering. But like the people of God, we worship God, like the people of old rather, we worship God in faith. And in the words of the 18th century hymn writer Joseph Hart, we'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. Amen.